Revolutionary Gospel
Blog News. Talk Radio.
All right, how you guys doing today? Once again, you guys, coming to you guys live from Revolutionary Gospel News. This is Arthur Joseph Smith, the writer of The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, The Caliphate, The Rise of the Islamic Nation, and The Temple Mount. You get all those books at Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books a Million. I was talking about global the fight. The title of my show is called The Fight for Global Domination. And what prompted that title and what made me look at it is like I was looking at some scriptures, and I feel a lot of stuff we'll start to miss today. I was wondering about a scripture that's talking about strength in that. In Revelation 2, it's talking about strength in that, which is about to be lost. And I was looking at how we view church, you know, how the church is viewed, and not understanding Christ, you know, being more than just the Savior, what he was really for. And my title, I use Acts 1 and 6. It says, when they therefore would come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, will thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? In other words, they were asking, well, they were under the Romans and all that, but will they receive power, you know, to rule over the world again, global domination? Will they be that nation that God had once blessed and no nation could stand against them? And Pilate, this is John 18:37. Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king? This is the Gospel of John, chapter 18, verse 37. It says, Pilate therefore said unto him, art thou a king then? Jesus answered, thou sayest that I am a king. To this end was I born. Listen to this. And for this cause came I into the world, that I should bear witness unto the truth, the reality of God, and everyone that is of the truth is of God, hear it, my voice. They understand what Christ was talking about. And we live in a day, an era, where it seems like they talk about spiritual things and not even really in the right context of even spirituality in the churches today. They seem to have missed the very key of this whole message of Christ. You know, they're sitting up there and they're listening, but they don't understand. He came to usher in a theocracy. A theocracy meaning a God-ruled world. Today, we're under the power of Satan, our government systems. And I was looking at people who claim to be patriots and all of that and not realizing, how are you a patriot and you have accepted Christ? That's a whole another government system in itself. We have to live in this world for a period of time, but we're at the close of this thing altogether. And I just look at it, and I don't understand the thinking of the people, nor do I actually understand how the people gather in and don't understand when they gathered into the church or what they call ecclesia. That's for the called out ones. We've been called out of the world to join in Christ's kingdom. So it's really a nation, a kingdom coming, that we're sitting there going to be taught how to live in that kingdom. And I'm going to talk a little bit about Jesus today and just some of the things that highlight some of the things he was saying and what he was doing here and really show you how he's our Savior. Yes, 100% he is the Savior of mankind. But yet also he is the commander-in-chief. He is the king. He is the global ruler of this world. That is what the Antichrist and the false prophet are trying to establish now, global domination. And they will have managed to establish it for a short period of time, as the Bible tells you, for 3.5 years. They will rule the world, and then Christ will return, and he will take the kingdom. He will take and rule, take over the world, period. And all the wicked will be removed from the earth at that time. Okay, and I was sitting up here looking at the scripture, and this is in Matthew's. And it goes on to say, and this is Matthew's 1. And he said, and he shall bring forth a son. And this would happen. Let's start at verse 20. Because it was talking to Joseph. I'm not going to read all of it because of the time I'll be having on this little show here. It don't allow me enough time to read through all the, thoroughly through all these scriptures. He says, but while he was thinking, okay, then Joseph, verse 19, I'm going to start at 18, regardless of my time. Okay, it says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was of this wise. This is how it took place. as his mother, Mary, was espoused to Joseph. In other words, she was engaged to Joseph. Before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Okay? This child was of the Holy Ghost and was of God's power and authority. It said, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. Privately, but privately, that's what it's really saying. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, the son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Okay, this is of God's power and authority, Joseph. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. He shall be the deliverer of Israel. I know the gospel is to all nations, but this particular scripture, when it's talking about he shall save his people, it's telling us that he should be the one that deliver Israel out of their miserable condition. Okay? These sons of the apostles and Paul and Peter and all the rest of them are to the Gentiles, but he came to save his people. And that's why you have in there, and you start in the first part, they're walking through his lineage. And talking about verse 5, pick up, said, Jesse begot David, and David the king begot Solomon, of her who was Uriah's wife. And it goes on. It actually starts at the very top to tell you the book of generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. So this is what I've been talking about earlier, too, that this book is dealing with the Israelites up until Acts 10 and 11, and you start hearing the door of salvation for them to become a part of our kingdom, our nation, has been opened. But he come to save his people. If any of you guys want to call in and make a comment, a statement, you can call in. My number is 773-897-6105. Once again, it's 773-897-6105. And I've been looking at how we've been conditioned to perceive the Bible. You know, when your mind is omit certain things, there's certain truths you won't be able to receive when it comes to the Bible. I look at what they done when they came out of Rome with all this reform and Protestant movement and their teachings of the Bible, that we really lost what was really being taught in the Scripture. You know, how many people really understand that he's talking about Israel when he said he came to save his people? He wasn't talking about he is saving mankind, but his specific job was to deliver Israel. He knows at a certain time when he arrives back, as the scriptures talk about, and that's also something I write about in the Caliphate, Rise of the Islamic Nation in Temple Mount, that how he would deliver Israel. When he comes back, he's the only one, according to the scripture, who can restore the true Israelites to Israel. So he should save his people. And we're living in the time of called Jacob's trouble. That's where we're at today. We're in the time the Bible calls Jacob's trouble. And how we know we're in Jacob's trouble, because this is the time also talked about in Daniel 12, when there should be trouble. It's not since there's been a nation. There's stuff going on. There's never going to be again since there's been a nation, as it says in the Bible. And Jeremiah 30, and that's Daniel 12 and 1. And then in Jeremiah 30, it talks about Jacob's trouble. That is the time of deliverance for them. You know, you read in Jeremiah 30, you'll see what I'm talking about in that particular verse, that you know when the time of Israel is going to be delivered. So there's been a whole lot of falsehoods we've been bombarded with. We've been blinded from the Bible because we've not been taught correctly how to look at it. And that is verse 7 I started with. I just didn't want to call it off like that. But so last day is great, so that there is none like it, like he was talking about in Daniel 12. There's going to be a time of trouble that there's never been since there was a nation. Okay? And he said, there's none like it. And even that time of, even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it, because Christ is going to return and deliver him. So you see, Christ shall save his people. Okay, and if you go a little farther, when Christ himself was being born, this is what happened. I'm going to jump into, I want to jump into two places. I'm going to look at Revelations 2 to show you who was behind this move here. It says, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judah in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem. Notice they didn't come from the west, because that's over there by Europe or Africa. They came from the east. Okay? Saying, where is he that is born king of the Jews? Notice that he was born king of the Jews. Okay? For we have seen his stars in the east and are come to worship him. Okay? So you see, he was born king of the Jews, and that's what he was telling Herod also when he was talking. I mean, not Herod, he was telling Pilate. And John, like it says, rightfully dividing the word truth. This is what he told Pilate. He says, John 18 and 37, he says, Pilate therefore said unto him, Art thou a king? Jesus answered, thou said that I am a king. Was I born? So you see, he was born to be a king. And for this cause came I into the world. In other words, it's not just stops there. He was born of water and spirit also when he was baptized by John. Same thing he tells us in John, in the Gospel of John 3 and 5, except a man is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God, which again is Acts 2:38, which tells you to repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for what? The remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. There is your water and spirit. There is your remission of sin. And Revelations 1 and 5 tells you that he has washed us from our sins in his own blood. So there is where the blood of Christ is applied to you. You can't pray that down from heaven. You have to be baptized, fully submerged in water, with somebody saying, I baptize you in the name of Jesus Christ. And you shall receive the Holy Ghost. And he tells you in Luke 17 that the kingdom of God is within you. See, that's what the scoffers don't understand. They always say, when shall be the coming of this kingdom, and don't understand that the spiritual kingdom came on the day of Pentecost. But he was telling you, cause came out into the world. He was born for this reason. He was born to be the king. He was born to usher in a kingdom that should have no end. This was God's will. This was God's choice. And he was talked about in the Garden of Eden when he said, when he was telling Satan, he was cursing Satan, he told him that the seed of the woman shall bruise our head. We all know that women have no seed. So as in Lucas says, the power of the highest overshadowed. So this holy thing of thee will be called the Son of God. See, God overshadowed his power and authority went over Mary, and he said, let there be light. That's why it says of the Holy Ghost. It was of God's power and authority. God's creation created that child in the mother's womb. And this is Chronicles 17, 1 Chronicles 17:11. It said, and it shall come to pass when thy days be expired, that thou mayest go to be with thy fathers, that I will rise up thy seed after thee, which shall be, when you read the lineage, he's from David, which shall be of thy sons, and I will establish his kingdom, his world dominance, and he shall build me a house. And I will establish his throne forever. And I will be his father, and he shall be my son. And I will not take my mercy away from him as I took it from him that was before thee, from Saul. But I will settle him in my house and in my kingdom forever. And his throne shall be established forever. This is according to all these words and according to all the vision. So did Nathan speak unto David. So he was already promised that he was going to rise up a child. He's going to bring somebody out of his family to rule this world. And Jesus knew that's why he was born. And so Herod, seeing this, now look at this, because Herod was not really an Israelite per se. He was from Idumea. And Idumea, what it is, that is the Esau, that is the Karsites now who inhabit that land. So it went on to say, saying, this is back in Matthew. Okay, so we see the foretelling of him coming in 1 Chronicles 17, starting at 11. And it says, okay, it said, where is he that was born king of the Jews? Like he said, for this cause was he sent into the world. For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. You see that? All of Jerusalem was troubled with him. Because this was the king coming. This was somebody who was going to bring about righteousness. So all these unrighteous people that were dwelling there were worried all of a sudden. And he said, when he had gathered all the chief priests and the scribes, other people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judah. For thus it is written by the prophet. It says, and thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, ye are not least among the princes of Judah. For out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Okay, then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you have found him, bring me word again, and I will come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king and departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them. See, I don't believe it's a physical star. I believe it's more of an angel, because it went before them. It's leading them there. Till it came and stood over where the young child was. See, so when you see how things the Bible speaks in metaphor. So how is that an actual world, star in the heavens? It came and stood over the house. It's talking about Jesus' angel. We've seen his star. We've seen his angel in the east. And he tells us we have angels that watch over us. Scripture revelation, clear understanding, perfectly common sense. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened the treasures, they presented with him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. Okay? So Herod wanted to find out where the child was. Because you read on further, you find out Herod tried to kill Jesus. You know, and so when you look at that, you go to Revelation 12. You know, the devil was trying to stop him from coming. Look at Revelation 12. Let's look at where this child comes from, how we're not being told to read the Bible correctly. And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and up on her head the crown of 12 stars, the 12 tribes of Israel. So that woman is a representation of the children of Israel, the 12 tribes. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pain to be delivered. See, pain to be delivered under oppression. And there appeared another wonder in heaven, and behold, a great red dragon, having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns upon his head. He said, look, and his tail drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Once again, stars of heaven, the angels. And did cast him to the earth. And the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. What was Herod after? What did he do? So we know the dragon is a symbolic figure of Satan. Those 7 heads and 10 horns are symbolic of his government system. Okay, now look at what happened in verse 13 of Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. It says, when they departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, arise, take thy young child and his mother, and flee thee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thy word, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose and took the young child and his mother by night and departed into Egypt, it went, okay, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt will I call my son. Okay. Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceedingly wroth, and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and all the coasts thereof for 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men. Then go on to tell you about that being a fulfillment of Scripture. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, in Ramah was there a voice heard, lamentation and weeping, in great mourning, Rachel weeping for her children, okay, which would not be comfort because they were not, because they killed them. So here we find, metaphorically speaking, Satan moving through a man, because he always had to move through a being, trying to kill Jesus. As he was born, as soon as he found out he was here, he sent for people to kill him. But look what happened. And you know he drew. So he's talking about a world government. All this is dealing with is world government too. Those seven heads, those are world government. I'll show you that in a minute, if time permits. And so she brought forth a child, talking about Israel. Came up, who was to rule all nations, world dominance, with a rod of iron. And her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. You see that? World dominance. Jesus was born to rule the world. He is the world's king. He is the world's president. He is Lord of lords, King of kings. Glory be to God. That's who he is. He just does not come here to save. He came to deliver his people, send forth the gospel, open the door for all man to enter into his kingdom, to be saved through his disciples. But he came particularly to Israel. Okay? And so here we have it. Herod tries to kill him. And the Bible is giving a description of who's behind that. He's showing you Satan's government system. And he says, so that child was brought forth, a man child, come out of Israel, who was to, and out of the tribe of Judah, was to rule all nations. All nations, not some. See, this is what you're not hearing in the church today. This is what's going on. The whole world is fighting for global dominance. But here's the real rule of all global dominance, right here. And her child was caught up unto God, to his throne. And the woman fled into the wilderness, the children of Israel, where she is prepared a place of God, that they should feed her there 1,260. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels. Now look at this. War in heaven. The devil's fighting to try to take over the heavens. And prevail not. Look what happened. Neither was there a place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceived the whole world, cast out into the earth. He's down here with us. And his angels are too, were cast out with him. They all down here. And he said, then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. When did salvation come? On the day of Pentecost. So we know right before the day of Pentecost, just before it drops, the Holy Ghost comes down, Satan is kicked out of heaven. He is no longer there. He is on the earth with us. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of God. See how people say, we've been hearing about it, don't realize the spiritual kingdom is already here. According to Luke 17, the kingdom of God should be in you. So on the day of Pentecost, the first part of the kingdom has arrived. See, there is a lack of scriptural understanding of those people. They don't understand what they're talking about. because the spiritual kingdom is already here. We're waiting the physical arrival of Christ now. So the kingdom of God and the power of his Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, that's through baptism in Jesus' name and the infilling of the Holy Ghost, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto death. Therefore rejoice ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you having great wrath, because he knows that he has but a short time. And when the dragon saw that he was cast into the earth, he persecuted the woman. He persecuted Israel, which was brought forth the man child. Okay? And the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness and into her place where she is nourished for a times and a half a time, for them 3.5 years they are coming from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as of a flood after the woman, that he may cause her to be lost and carry her away of a flood. In other words, false doctrine. Don't know who the real people is. Don't know what the real church look like, where the real believers are gathering in together, the called out ones who are taking part in the kingdom of God. This was the doing of Satan, which came out of Rome too. And the earth helped the woman. Those carnal people helped the woman. And the earth opened her mouth, receiving it, swallowed up the flood, followed up that false doctrine, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. And the dragon was wrought with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed. I always hear people say a remnant. That's talking about the remnant of Israel, people. Talking about it's a remnant, should be saying, yeah, the remnant of Israel, but that remnant is dealing with Israel, because when you deal with the 144, then it says there's a multitude of others, which no man can number. So remnant is really dealing with Israel, okay? Not no religion claiming that they're the remnant, okay? In her seed, okay, he said he went to make war. The dragon was wrought with the woman, with Israel, and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which have kept the commandment of God and have the testimony of Jesus. They have the Holy Ghost. Okay? In chapter 17, shows you what that seven head is. I'm going to start at verse 5 because it's talking about the woman, America. It said, up on her head was the name written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, Mother of Harlots, Abomination of the Earth, America. And I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus, who I saw. And when I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. America is going to kill the saints, kill the martyrs. Martyr is somebody who can bring light to the situation, all the ungodly deeds, bringing light to the people, understanding there's a kingdom of God, understanding that this is the working of Satan, this government system here in America and around the world. They're all controlled by the devil. And said, and the angel said unto me, where did thou marvel? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and the beast, the Antichrist, that carried her. They're riding on the back of the Antichrist right now, which had the seven heads and 10 horns. What are those? The beast that thou saw was and is not, and shall ascend out of the bottomless pit and go into perdition. And they that dwell on the earth shall wonder, whose names were not written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, when they beheld the beast, the Antichrist that was and is not and yet is. He's there. And here is the mind which has woman. The seven heads are seven mountains on which the woman sits. They are seven kings. Five are fallen. One is, and the other is yet to come. And when he comes, he must continue a short space. Okay, and it goes on to say, and the beast that was and is not, even is of the eight and is of the seven, and going into perdition and destruction. People are being counted down. But it's world government, seven kings. It's all about world government. It's about God taking back his throne from Satan. That's why Jesus has been sent. Jesus has died, he's risen, he's in the heaven. He's waiting on God to give the command to come and take his kingdom from all these devils. All these people are influenced by Satan. All these world governments are influenced by Satan. And I will get into this tomorrow. I'm going to have my show a little later tomorrow. Because I'm normally rushing, and I'm going to have it, say, around 1 o'clock tomorrow. It'll be 1 o'clock p.m. Eastern time. It's going to be 2 o'clock Central time, which is my time, is 1 o'clock Pacific time, that is going to be like 11 o'clock, if I'm correct. But I'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Once again, this was Revolutionary Gospel News. I thank you guys for coming out. Go out and get my book. That'll be an enlightening to you, The Revival of the Roman Empire, The Devil Workshop, The Caliphate, The Rise of the Islamic Nation, and The Temple Mount. At Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, find them all there. Okay, once again, this was Revolutionary Gospel News. Thank you guys for coming out today. See you at 1 o'clock tomorrow.